Every time I hear that song, I have the temptation, strong temptation, to have a soundboard on my telephone that plays a rooster crow at the end of that song. So it's very much like something Peter would say. We're blessed tonight to have our brother Paul Meredith from the Northside Church of Christ in Temple, Texas, with us as a speaker this evening. He's been over there for about 2.5 years now, has a wife named Amanda and 3 kids, the oldest of which is named Emma, and she's going to be going to Harding this next month, starting there for her schooling. He's been in ministry for 20 years. As long as he's been over there, we've heard great things about what's going on at Northside, so I'm glad to be able to present him to you tonight, and glad to have him here to speak for us this evening. He'll be followed next week by his co-minister, and then the final week by Rocky Munkus, so we're getting really close to the end here, and that makes me really sad, because I love having Sunday nights free to listen to somebody else preach. Brother, come up and preach the word to us.
Very grateful for the opportunity to be with you this evening. Greetings to you from the saints at the Northside Church of Christ in Temple, Texas. We petition your prayers as we labor in the kingdom, and we want to keep you in prayer also. I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16, the very last chapter in what is referred to by some as the magisterial epistle of Romans. The Apostle Paul tackles some pretty weighty topics: receiving the righteousness of God, the mechanics of our salvation. But he chooses to end the letter in an interesting fashion. He ends the letter with a list. Romans chapter 16. Let me begin in verse 1. Commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church at Cenchrea, that you may welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints, and help her in whatever she may need from you. For she has been a patron of many and of myself as well. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks as well. Greet also the church in their house. Greet my beloved Epaphroditus, who was the first convert to Christ in Asia. Greet Mary, who has worked hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners. They are well known to the apostles, and they were in Christ before me. Greet Ampliatus, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ. My beloved Stachys, greet Apelles, who is approved in Christ. Greet those who belong to the family of Aristobulus. Greet my kinsman Herodion. Greet those in the Lord who belong to the family of Narcissus. Greet those workers in the Lord, Tryphena and Tryphosa. Greet the beloved Persis, who has worked hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, also his mother, who has been a mother to me as well. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Patrobus, Hermas, and the brothers who are with them. Greet Philologus, Julia, Nereus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. Will you pray with me? Dear God, we ask a blessing upon the reading of your word. We're grateful for the record of how you have worked in the world, in your creation, and in the lives of so many. And we're grateful for this list of saints preserved for us. And Lord, we pray that you will help us to labor together as fellow workers in your kingdom, that you might be honored, that your name might be glorified, and that we might exalt you before all the witnessing world. Lord, I pray your blessings upon the congregation here. Be with every member. Pray that you will bless their efforts. Grateful for their service. Bless them that they will continue to love and serve you and continue to love and serve each other. Bless our time as we reflect upon your word. Give us insight and understanding and help us to apply the truth to our lives that we might be molded more and more into the image of Jesus Christ. And it's in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. I guess I could forgive you if your heart was not all aflutter during the reading of that text. I had a preaching professor, and he said, whatever you do, don't preach the lists. Avoid the lists. You know, we have lists in Scripture from time to time, and sometimes it's a list of places, sometimes it's a list of people, and this one is a list of people. My preaching professor said, avoid the list, they're boring. Avoid the list. But you know, I suppose we could get interested in a list. Paul seems, in some respect, to be doing a roll call, calling the roll. That's an unusual thing. I've never been at a church where someone got up and called the roll. That's an odd thing. On Monday, January 7th, 2019, I, along with 239 fellow Bell County residents, reported for jury duty at the Justice Complex in Belton. Showed up early that Monday morning, and the deputy clerk stood up and had a list of all of our names. We were called for jury duty to listen to civil, to criminal cases, and they were deciding who would be on the jury. And the clerk called the roll. And it was tedious. And she called, and it wasn't in alphabetical order, so you had to listen. And behind me was a gentleman, Mr. Clark, and the deputy clerk called Mrs. Clark. And the man behind me said, here? Deputy clerk said, Mrs. Clark. And he said, here? The clerk said, Mrs. Clark. And he stood up and said, well, I thought the letter was for me, and I opened it. And the deputy clerk said, well, sir, we summoned Mrs. Clark. And he said, well, I'm here, and I'll do it, and she has no interest in this sort of thing. And the clerk said, well, how would you know? She doesn't even know she's been summoned. So lists can be interesting. And I suppose there is insight regarding the sociological makeup of the church in Rome. Now, you may not have noticed, but we've got a husband and wife, Priscilla and Aquila. We've got sisters. We've got a brother and sister. We've got brothers. We've got an older gentleman. We've got a single woman. It's an interesting list. Not a lot of nuclear family there. It's interesting, the makeup of the church in Rome. But Paul is calling this roll, calling this list, calling out their names. And I think for Paul, it's more than just a list. That's what we're thinking about tonight as well. Don't call it a list. There's more going on here than that. The Apostle Paul is in Corinth, staying in the home of Gaius, and he's wanting to visit the church in Rome. He's planning, actually, to advance his missionary campaign because the Apostle Paul wants to go on to Spain. One of his strategic plans as he thinks through missionary journeys is to expand the kingdom of God into regions, especially Gentile urban environments, those that have not heard the name of Jesus Christ. He's especially eager to go and to take the gospel message to places where the gospel has not gone. And so one of the things that Paul is wanting to do in the book of Romans is not only give instruction and encouragement to the church, but he is on a fundraising campaign. He's wanting to receive some donations from them and some support from them because he's wanting to fund his campaign to Spain. He's wanting to take the gospel further west. And so he's making connections and he's building relationships. And Paul is not being manipulative when he's naming them. It's not that the Apostle Paul purchased a mailing list and is trying to connect with them and get them just to donate to his fund. He does want the mission to be supported, but he is genuinely grateful for their service in the kingdom. Every individual matters. Every person is important. And these are individuals that are meaningful to Paul. And I can suppose that as he's packing, as he's getting his things ready to travel east, you know, he probably has a cloak. Paul traveled light. He was single. He had a portable trade that he could receive some income. He was a tent maker. So he did that. But he was also interested in his papers, his quill and paper. He was a writer, the author, the Apostle Paul. And I suppose maybe as he was going through some of those things to pack, as he left Corinth to travel to Rome, and then he wanted to go on to Spain, we actually don't have record that he made it that far. Tradition tells us that he was imprisoned in Rome and on multiple occasions and did not ultimately escape Roman imprisonment. But suppose he came across some notes with these names, with these people, and it stirred his memory, and he's reflecting on the church in Rome, and he's remembering these names. We can relate to that. When my wife and I first got married, 1998, we just celebrated last week our 21st year wedding anniversary, and we were reminiscing, and I worked as a youth minister first, and I remember, one of the traditions of the Scotts Hill Church of Christ is that all of their student ministers, all of their youth ministers, they would take a picture and frame it on the wall, and they had this wonderful gallery along the wall in their fellowship room of all the preaching students, all the ministers that had served with the church. And I bet if we went back there today, 21 years later, our picture would still be on that wall. We moved to Clayton, New Mexico. That was the first full-time church work. And I remember when we left the work there, they gave us a beautiful scrapbook. And we turned the pages of that scrapbook and we reminisce. There's Frank and Sally who put new tires on our car. You know, there's Larry who voted and convinced others to vote against my raise. There's Johnny and Julie and you know, they had rough patches, but they made it. They had struggles in their marriage, but they resolved them. Don't call it a list. When we lived in Kentucky, we lived in Kentucky for 12 years, and when we left the church there, they gave us a beautiful piece of framed art. The church building was in a colonial style. It was a beautiful church building. It was kind of a centerpiece of a downtown community, and it had an interesting architecture to it, and there was this really nice print of the profile of the building, and all the members had signed the margins and framed it and gave it to us as a gift when we moved away from Kentucky. And we look at the names, and we look at the list, and we reminisce, and we remember, and it means something to us. People that have contributed to our lives of faith, people who have spoken into our lives, encouragement and direction. And Paul is doing that sort of thing here at the end of the book of Romans. It's not just him reminiscing. It's not just him trying to manipulate folks by calling their name. He genuinely loves them and is grateful for their service, for their labor with him in the kingdom of God. It's meaningful to them. Aquila and Priscilla, they were in prison with me, Paul says. They risked their necks for my life, he says. Mary, she worked hard. Mary was a hard worker, Paul says. You know, Mary, I can just imagine the one, Paul, you go on home, I'll pick up the hymnals, I'll clean up the paper. Paul said, well, Mary, you work hard too. Mary says, well, yes, but you have to donkey across Asia tomorrow. You go home and get some rest. And We have sisters, Tryphena and Tryphosa. They're sisters, and it says they worked hard in the Lord. And he says, greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord. Send him greeting. And also his mother, who is my mother also. Imagine this woman who earned from the apostle the title of mother. He probably stayed in her home. She probably hosted him. She probably fed him meals and cooked for him. And, you know, he needed to dash out. Sit down, Paul. Eat your breakfast. You need that. She was a mother to me also, Paul says. It's an interesting list. It's an interesting list. Epaphroditus is on the list. I can imagine Paul stayed up all night. He was the first convert to the gospel, the first one baptized in Asia. Paul giving thanks to God, praying, Lord, finally someone listened. We have a baptism. You know, I remember the first young lady that I baptized into Christ. That was a precious moment for me. It was a great special moment for her as well. It was at Bible camp. I was a teenager, and she was a younger teenager for me. And it was requested that I be the one to baptize her. I'd been studying with her, and I'll never forget that. It was at Bible camp, Black Mesa Bible Camp in Kenton, Oklahoma. Don't call it a list. It's more than that. I think one of the most poignant moments every year as the nation remembers 9/11 is the reading of those names. Often it's family members or it's individuals who get up and as they're reading the list of the 3,000 or so victims of evil on that day, they're just calling the names. You know what I'm talking about, right? Have you seen it on TV? The annual reading of the list of names of those who died on 9/11. Don't you think for those that are calling the name, there's significance to that? There's meaning to that? It's more than a list. I know in May, just a couple of months ago, what would compel 5,000 people to go to the Bell County Expo Center and sit to hear a list of names, right? Why would you do that? Well, you would do it because of the 665 names called. Name number 502 was Emma Marie Meredith, my daughter, right? Graduating a major milestone in her life. It's not just a list. It has much more significance than that. I think you can relate to this idea. I think we can understand the importance. And I think for us, it's very important that we remember. That we remember. This is the participation portion of the sermon. So get a piece of paper and a pencil, maybe the bulletin, or your cell phone. You can send yourself a text, or you can send yourself an email. I see two of you getting out pencils and paper. Hold up your cell phone. Let's try that. All right. Here's what I want you to write. Or here's what I want you to text. Or here's the email that I want you to send to yourself. Are you ready? These are the words I want you to write. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. Have you got it, or do you need more time? I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. Okay, are you ready? Now, write a name. You pick the name, but you put down someone's name. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. Now write another name. And another name. This is the start of your list. This is your Romans 16 roll call. And I want you to keep it with you. When you change cell phones, make sure you save that message. When you move, keep that piece of paper. Don't lose it. Keep it with you. When you die, take it with you. Now, I know, when, you know, St. Peter at the gate is going to say, you brought nothing in, you can't take anything out. What do you got? You'll just say, oh, it's just a slip of paper. Well, show it to me, he'll say. Oh, it's just a list of names. Well, who's on it? It's just people that helped me. People that nurtured my faith. People that without them, I wouldn't have made it. He'll say, well, show me the list. You hand him the list, and he looks at it, and he'll grin. And he'll say, oh, I know these names. In fact, on my way to work this morning, on the way to the gate, I passed this very group of people, and they were out making a sign. And the sign says, welcome home. God did not design us to live out our faith in isolation. He designed us to live out our faith in the context of community. He has placed us in a kingdom, a church, a family. You are even here part of this congregation, this church family. And to be honest, I mean, I don't really know this church, but I suspect, and it's probably true at all churches, that there might, if you had to choose, you might not choose to hang out with some of these folks. But God has placed you here. He's the one that has put you here. And whether you think it's true or not, these people influence your life. They help you. And we are to be nurturing and supportive and loving, connected, cooperating, serving arm in arm. Mutual responsibility. We are responsible for the person sitting in front or behind or to the left or to the right. Right? Because we're a community, a congregation, an assembly. And in the scriptures, there's less emphasis on our districting geographically, and there's more emphasis on our connectedness as a community who are collectively committed to Christ. Okay? It's the nature of the church. We don't want to have a low view of the church. Sometimes when we poll people in class, we say, what's your view of the church? And sometimes people take that as a license to complain or whine or fuss. I'll tell you one thing we recently declared at Northside. We discovered that there was fussing over stuff that didn't matter. I'm sure y'all don't have that problem. And so we declared a moratorium on complaining. No complaining. No complaining. If you're complaining, then we'll give you a job to do. Because people who aren't serving, people who aren't out laboring for the Lord, people who aren't doing evangelism or service in the community, those are the ones that have time to complain. The ones that are working are too busy to complain, right? I mean, I genuinely believe one of the cures for complaining in the church is service. Let's just get serving. And if we work, then those complaints that really are trivial, they really aren't important. They really don't matter. Okay, I guess you could argue with that and say, well, there are some things that matter a lot and we need to, well, okay, that's true. But it's very important we discern between the things that we legitimately should be passionate about and the things that really are trivial that we shouldn't get worked up over. Now, I'll have to report back to you how it's going with the no complaining policy. We just are getting that started. We'll see how that goes. But we think of the Apostle Paul. You think of the end of 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. You know, I beseech you, I plead with you, brethren. You know, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let's get working, and let's get working together. Let's get working together. When we think about the book of Romans and the way that Paul chooses to end the epistle, Paul deals with a lot of significant themes regarding righteousness, salvation. The Apostle Paul doesn't say, oh, our salvation is beautiful. It's kind of like a car. Let's say we have a really nice car. Who has the nicest? No, let's not do that. What's a nice car? Give me a make and model. A Cadillac. What color? What color Cadillac do we want? A black Cadillac with four wheels, right? Of course, four wheels, yeah. Well, we look at, well, you know, look at the angles and the paint. Boy, it looks nice. But let's say I ask, well, how does it run? And you say, run? What do you mean run? So, well, yeah, how does it drive on the road? Drive on the road? What are you talking about? Well, don't you drive it? I don't understand what you're saying. Yeah, where are the keys? Well, yeah, they gave me this with the car, but I don't know what it's for. You say, well, let me see it. And you start the engine, and they're like, what's that sound? Put it in drive, and you hit the gas, and it goes. Now, how ridiculous would it be for a person to have a black Cadillac and not realize that it has an engine and that it runs and it can get them places? That's absurd. Paul is saying, he said, how absurd is it for a Christian who just sits back and says, oh, look at my salvation. You know, and this is all through Romans. Romans 6, you know, do I continue in sin that grace may abound? Oh, look at how graced I am by God. Look how beautiful my salvation is. And Paul says, you know what? We need to pop the hood and we need to look at the mechanics of our salvation. There's an engine in there, a very sophisticated, complex machines with many processes that converge so that when you hit the gas pedal, the car goes. You know? The sophistication of a fuel-injected engine and the cylinders and the internal combustion activity that Paul the Apostle pops the hood and says, look at the mechanics of our salvation. Let's look deeply at what Christ has accomplished at the cross. The substitutionary atoning sacrifice for sin. He bore your sin, my sin. He bore that as a substitute. He bore our sin, paying the penalty, died, was buried, and rose, conquering death, defeating sin, and ensuring our freedom. That our salvation goes. It gets us to where we need to be. And then he says, as a church, I want you all to appreciate and enjoy the beauty and the glory of that salvation. And whatever list we have, whatever name of Christian is on that list, we have all been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And we are tasked with the glorious mission of living out our identity in Christ and living out our faith with peace and joy and inviting others to embrace conviction, common conviction in Jesus Christ. Don't call it a list. We're a family. We're a church. We labor together. And as we join the vast assemblage of Christians of the past who have a common confession in Christ along with us, we make up a spiritual army, a royal priesthood. Apostle Peter uses that kind of language, a holy nation. We're a family, we're a community, we are connected. And so, I think that as we live out our Christianity, I want us to have a greater, grander appreciation for the connection we have with Christ, but with others. Love each other. Tradition says that the Apostle John, as he was nearing the end of his life, the Apostle John wrote the book of Revelation. He was in exile on the island of Patmos because of his faith. And he wrote in that message, you know, don't fear what you're about to suffer. You're going to be tempted for a period of time, 10 days, it says. It's finite. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. And tradition, it's not in the Bible, but tradition says that when the Apostle John on one occasion was asked to speak and he was old and frail and couldn't say much, he just said, my little children, love one another. My little children, love one another. And I think that's congruent with the message of Christ, don't you? When Jesus was asked multiple times, what's the greatest command? Love God and love your neighbor. Love each other. Jesus said in John 13, the world will know that you are my disciples by the love that you have one for another. Love is the hallmark of our Christianity. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, right? If we don't have love, we can do all this stuff, but we're just making noise. The greatest of these, faith, hope, love, the greatest of these is which multiple choice question, right? Greatest of these is love. We love one another, for God is love. Well, my hope and my prayer and my encouragement to you is to enhance those connections with others. Cherish your list. It's more than a list. There are people that have contributed in your life. There are people that have helped you, that have served you, that have ministered to you, and you to others. I'm sure your name is on someone else's list. But cherish the list. Hold on to that connection. Maintain that mutual love. And remember our common goal, our common hope, our common Savior in Jesus Christ. And if this evening, if there is one that we can, or two or three, if there's some here that we can minister to with the gospel of Jesus Christ, to talk with you further about the atoning sacrifice of Jesus for our sins, so that we can have right standing before God and the hope of eternal life in heaven, we can minister to you with the gospel if you're ready to confess the name of Christ. If you're ready to be immersed, baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins, to be added to the church, heaven's roll call, or if you've wondered, if you've strayed, if sin has infiltrated your life and damaged your relationship with God and your fellow brothers and sisters, that can be remedied. God continually extends His grace and His offer to His children who come penitently and prayerfully. He can make you whole. He can restore you. He can heal you. And so it's an opportunity. Tonight's an occasion that if there's a need that you have, we invite you to come and make that need known. We invite you to do so as we stand together and sing together a song of encouragement.